additional number of international media today, more than usual. So I just wanted to welcome everybody and thanks for joining us. Excited about this weekend's 4 days in Philadelphia. It should be an exciting weekend given the fact that Philly is going to the Super Bowl to face the Patriots, which my wife is very excited about and is a massive Patriots fan. But Philly should be quite the excited raucous crowd, even more so than usual given the circumstances, and kicking it off on Saturday night with NXT TakeOver should be hopefully, as always, kick off a hell of a weekend, and hopefully we can do it in the right fashion and raise the bar for everything. So I think we have some really great stories going into this one. Andrade Cien Almas, the NXT champion, against Johnny Gargano. You know, Johnny probably the most pure babyface right now. I don't know, maybe possibly out there. So that should be very exciting. Ember Moon versus newcomer Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. To me, great storyline coming into it. Authors of Pain, most dominant probably tag team champions we've ever had, versus the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly for the NXT tag titles. And then Adam Cole versus Aleister Black, two huge stars of NXT. And Aleister Black, probably the fastest rising star we've had in a long time. And Adam Cole continuing to cement his place in the business, but in an Extreme Rules match. And exciting given that it's Philly, and I know the past of Philly, but not booked because of that. The ECW factor, not booked as an Extreme Rules match because of that or in that manner. I'm excited that we're in a historic place with that, but I don't want to embrace the past as much as I want fans to embrace the future. And that's what NXT is about, is the future. All of these names on here, this entire card is all the future of this business, as I think we've seen from all the takeovers. And if you look at the main roster now, they're all in there. So it's about the future. And while we can embrace the past while we're there, I want to make that clear. It's not about embracing the past. It's about stepping forward into the future. So we also had some exciting signings in the last few weeks coming into the Performance Center, not only internationally with people finally arriving to the Performance Center from Kuwait and the Middle East and every place else, but also with independent stars such as Ricochet and War Machine, Candice LeRae. So it's an exciting time. And with that, I will open it up to questions.
All right, guys. Thank you. Since we want to try and accommodate as many as possible, we'll keep it to one question per outlet this time around. Thanks, everybody.
All right, again, one question. If you'd like to ask a question, press star one. Again, star one on your phone. If you'd like to ask a question, we go first with PW Insider. Again, please limit yourself to one question and press star one for questions. Mike Johnson with PW Insider, please go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, it cost
hey,
me
Paul
money.
Howard.
I just got handed $1 bill.
What I'm here for, to make you money, I guess.
Thank you very much. That's my bottom line.
So someone's got to make you money, right? Obviously, you guys have four matches announced for this show this weekend. What can you give us in terms of an indication of what's scheduled beyond the four matches that are announced? You guys usually tape some TV. Is that the plan this week, or are there other matches that are unannounced that are going to be on the broadcast as well?
There's another match that will be on the broadcast as well. I'll put it up there now. Is Cassius Ohno facing Velveteen Dream. You will see that this weekend as well. So I mean, that kind of rounds out the rest of the card as far as what the four that are out there, which I think will, to me, Cassius versus Velveteen Dream, there's a potential that one steals the show as well. So once again, I think firing on all cylinders across NXT with this card. There will also be the kind of in the pre-live stuff that airs in the following week. TM61 will be making a return, and there'll be some appearances by Nikki Cross and a few others as well, Roderick Strong. So it'll be a good night.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll jump off.
Thanks, Mike.
Next to Jim Varsalone with Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, Shayna Baszler has a big match, as you mentioned, and the MMA athletes are transitioning, doing well in NXT and WWE. I was curious what your thoughts are of Jessamyn Duke, and has there been any interest in bringing her in?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny that whenever there's a particular person starts to make it with a particular background, I get asked tons of questions about other people from that particular background, as if that's like the catalyst or something. I'm interested in anybody that has talent, that shows a significant talent towards this business, and a desire to do it, obviously, and the right human being and all those other things. But it's not like all of a sudden I go like, oh, look, we got an MMA person here, so let me find a bunch of those. I'm aware of Jessamyn. I've seen her training, and she actually has kind of a gift for it, I believe. And I think that a lot of people that I have that I trust their opinions, that have seen her train and have seen her step into the ring, think highly of her. So I think it's just a matter of timing for her. I know she's serious about getting into the business. I think it's a matter of timing of for us or for wherever she goes and however she does this. But for us, it's timing of just having the available space. We're in a position with a performance center where we're kind of chock full, and that vetting process has become very, very demanding. So, you know, the filter is working, you know, you got to be the best of the best to kind of get in there. So it's a matter of us being on the radar and then us having the spot to put you in.
Hey, congrats on presenting the scholarship to the Full Sail student, and thank you.
Thank you very much. That was exciting. You know, part of our partnership with Full Sail is doing those scholarships. And, man, I got to tell you, when you can give a kid that's going to college at that level and give them a $10,000 or in this case a $25,000 scholarship that changes their life of how they're educated. And really when you think about changing their future, man, that's the coolest thing. It's really great to be able to see. And those people are so helpful to what we do. It's awesome for us to be able to do that for them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, press star one for questions and please limit yourself to one question. We go next to Neil Docking with Daily Mirror. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us this evening.
Sure.
Just wanted to ask you a little bit about Shayna Baszler. You know, obviously, she's challenging Ember Moon for the NXT Women's Championship, having only made her in-ring debut on NXT on January 10th. Can you tell us what it is about her that excites you, you know, as a performer and has led to receiving this huge opportunity, you know, so relatively quickly?
Yeah, so look, to me, what stands out with Shayna is her. There's a certain persona, a certain aura to her. I thought it since the first time I ever saw her. This was years ago when she just. I don't know what it is. She just has this personality. She comes across like this badass, quiet, but has this almost like. I don't know. I hate using the word, but bully component to it, you know, and. It just works out. She's so matter of fact when she's in the ring. You know, she obviously has a lot to learn and has a great learning curve, but the character was there to a point where it was very easy to put her in a place where she would become that sort of bully and somebody that brought something different to the table where she could take advantage of people. And at the same point in time, give me an emotional attachment to Ember as the defender. You know, Ember's kind of story up until now and her connection has been her desire to succeed and her overcoming these obstacles and trying to get to that championship, and she got there. Okay, but now what, right? So now I need something to make me emotionally connect to her. And to me, I saw the desire to do two things, is present Shayna as this nasty bully and Ember as somebody that does not like that nasty bully and will come to the defense of it. And in today's environment, that's a relevant story. And is Shayna necessarily the bully, or was she just doing what she needed to do to get what she wanted? That's kind of the conflict story for Regal. So I feel like it worked on all levels. And I feel like they've done a great job of getting it to where it needs to go. To me, that's what it's about sometimes, is the storyline, not necessarily just like, oh, well, she just got here, so she's got to bank for a little while longer or something. You know, Shayna has a lot more experience to gather, but she's in a position where we can tell a really good story with it.
Yeah. Oh, great. Thank you.
We go next to Simon Takla with Australian Radio Network.
Hey, Simon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Cool. So, yeah, really good. So, of course, NXT is a great platform for all the up-and-coming performers and wrestlers in the industry, but it's also become a really cool platform for heavy metal bands over the years, you know, whether it's Baroness, Bring Me the Horizon, Code Orange, who performed in Brooklyn, and now Asking Alexandria for Philadelphia. What sort of led to that becoming one of the main sounds of NXT, and what's that process like of selecting music for the takeover events?
So, yeah, it's an interesting question, and thanks for bringing it up. We formed, when we started doing NXT, I wanted it to have a different image and a different feel. And part of that to me was, you know, if you look at WWE from a musical standpoint, WWE is much more pop music, right? It appeals, you want it to appeal to as many people as possible, so it's kind of pop music. We are a bit more of a niche, right? We're a bit more of an edge, and I wanted to feel that edge. And to me, it's not necessarily about a genre of music. It's how that music makes you feel. That music, whether it be heavy metal or whether it be, hip-hop or a more urban sound or whatever that is, if that sound leads you to feeling the emotion of having that edge, that's really what I wanted. So we kind of... And sometimes even take whatever the storyline is, and I'm trying to encapsulate that feel. We go through music. I go through a lot of music with our staff here at Neil Lowey, and we go through all this different music, and he brings a lot of stuff to us. I feel like there's something cool about being the brand that is breaking talent in a way, and also we're giving these opportunities to these breaking bands when we can and doing stuff with them. So we try to use as much up and coming and kind of on the edge of making it or close to it. And if we can help push them over the edge, you know, that a lot of these bands get a huge social rub from doing stuff with us and get a lot of eyeballs on them, you know, Code Orange playing for us and all those things. It really helps them as well. I feel like it's kind of helping that genre of music to continue to grow and flourish. It helps our brand. It's a win-win for everybody. Plus, I like it, so which is a bonus. But yeah, it's mostly about creating a feel. I want a certain feel for the brand. When you watch NXT, you want a certain feel for it. Then that music gives you that feel, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's got a great vibe. Great talking to you again. Hopefully, we'll see you in Australia soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we will, man. Thank you.
We go next to Justin Labar with Pittsburgh Trib Live. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you.
How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you. As you talked about in your opening comments, all about the future and embracing the future, and as you noted, we have some new people reporting to the Performance Center. What are you willing or can tell us about the signings, and should we assume they're all bound for NXT first in the company, or what can you say?
Yeah, I think obviously we have to see where everything nets out, but the idea with majority of new talent is even guys coming in that have years of experience, when I say guys, I mean guys and girls, it's a bad habit, but with years of experience, is years of experience doing what we do in a certain way, getting on the WWE playbook, but also learning to do television the way that we do television, which is totally different from anybody else. And I've said that before, is for talent, it's almost unfair to throw them right into the main roster with no experience of it, because it's an overwhelming proposition, and it's hard enough when that spotlight is on you very bright. It's intense. It's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't do this, and I don't care where you've been and how much experience you've had. It's intense, and to do that without the comfort of seeing all those other things, it can be overwhelming. So I think for the most part, everybody that's coming in the door of WWE, especially for the first time, unless they were here before and for a fairly long stint or something, I think you're going to see them go through NXT, and at least, if nothing else, at least for a short journey, depending on how quickly they pick things up. You know, I don't want to also put anybody in a position ever to fail. Look, it's going to happen, right? And we don't have control over all of that. But at a certain point in time, I want to make sure that they have the tools they need. If I see something, given what I know about all of it and given the experience level of and with the team I have, if we see something that we say, ooh, this is going to be a struggle for that person if they get to the main roster, I want to perfect that. I want to give them those tools to fix that so that they can succeed. You want them to have all those tools. It's hard enough if you have all the tools to succeed, let alone do it without them. Once they have them, then you kind of set them free in the world, and then it is what it is on their side and on creative and everything else, right? But now at least you've given them the tools. You've taught them how to fly at least before you push them out of the nest.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and yeah, congrats on getting to have your reunion at Raw 25.
Oh, thanks, man. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun night. You know, you don't get to hang out with your buddies and just laugh every now and then. It was good. Good time.
We go next to Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. You guys obviously were just on USA Network to close the year. So kind of a combo question here. Were you happy with the 841,000 viewer count for USA Network? And are you guys, as I guess George Barrios likes to say when it comes to a potential sale or merger, are you guys open for business when it comes to being included in a potential cable television package deal?
Look, I think as far as the open for business, Vince has made that clear before. He's open for business in all ways. He's open to conversations about anything. As far as I'm not 100% sure what you're referencing on the numbers. It's been a busy week, so I've not necessarily seen all those numbers in a direct format yet. So, look, I think we're happy with where we are. I always want things to be better, no matter what it is. And I think to answer the point, I think Vince has made it clear we're open for business. If somebody has an idea, it doesn't mean we're going to do it, but we're open to the concept.
Very good. Thank you.
Next to Raj Giri with Wrestling Incorporated. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Raj. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. We talked about two of the four horsewomen. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, in your discussions with Ronda Rousey, has she kind of indicated that if she were to do something with you guys, that would be more as a full-time gig, or has it been more kind of a short-term and we see where it goes from here?
You know what? We've had discussions and we've talked about a million different things, and it kind of at the point I've shared before is kind of where we're at sharing about it is, like, she's interested. We're interested. We've had back and forth conversations. We're busy. She's busy. Getting to the point of being able to sit down and hammer something out has not happened yet. But the interest is clearly there. You know, the one thing about Ronda that I can share is for sure is that she has loved the pro wrestling industry since she was a kid. The Roddy Piper connection is huge for her. She truly has a deep ingrained thing for that. And, you know, it's funny because I have seen people say, like, oh, well, you know, Ronda, if she does sign with them, it's taking the place of somebody else who's been trying to do this for years and trying to get the business. She's been training for this actually for a long time. I saw videos of her, oh, I think 4 years ago, doing this kind of on the side when she was fighting and you know, still kind of doing the sports entertainment side of it on the side. This is something she's been thinking about and been very serious about doing for a long period of time. So that criticism is kind of unfounded. If she does this, when that time comes, I think she's going to be, she likes it to the point where I think it'll be tough for her not to be all in, really. But we'll see when we get there. It's just, you know, to finding time for her. She, believe it or not, I know everybody thinks it's, you know, because she's not fighting or whatever. She has a very busy schedule. So us sitting down and doing some things is not the fastest process on the planet.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you. We go next to Nims Azur with Croc Media. Please go ahead.
G'day, Triple H. Good to talk to you, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Sure, man.
Now, just quickly, in the history of the NXT takeovers, we've seen it held outside the United States just twice, Toronto and London. Now, NXT is filled, well, maybe not filled, but there are a lot of Australians in there, like TM61, Rhea Ripley, and the list goes on and on, the iconic duo. Is there any chance that we could see a takeover maybe come to Australia at some point?
Yeah, I think the opportunity for NXT to do things internationally is definitely there. The platform for us to be able to do it, the ability for us to be able to travel longer periods of time and to be able to go out there, and whether it's do a takeover somewhere else or, you know, internationally or do television or any of that. It's actually a little bit easier for us to do, given the nature of NXT and how we do the shows, than it is for the main roster to do, because Raw and SmackDown being live every week, it makes it much exponentially difficult, more difficult. But the opportunity is there. It's just making it all work out, making it make sense, and making it be a financial winner for everybody involved, including if we're working with somebody in Australia. So much like I said earlier, from Vince's standpoint, we're open to business on that if the opportunity is right. I would love to bring a takeover to Australia. I would love to bring the product over to Australia again. We did a tour there before with Paul Dainty, and it was very successful and was very popular. So, you know, doing it again for me when the time is right, I'd love to do it. It's we just need to work on making it happen. There's a lot of things going on right now, and it makes some of those things happening a little bit more difficult and time consuming to get them done.
Thanks for your time, Paul, and don't sell yourself short. We still remember you 16 years ago main eventing Global Warning with The Rock and Brock Lesnar, so you still got some in the tank.
Yeah, that's 16 years, dude. That's a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right, guys, unfortunately, this will be the last question.
We'll take our final question from Nathan Ryan with Fox Sports Australia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Paul. I just wanted to follow up on the women that are part of NXT from Australia. The iconic duo are obviously the main ones that spring to mind. How far away do you think they are from a call-up to the main roster, and what is it that they might be missing from getting that call-up?
You know, I don't think they're far from that. I think it's there's a certain point in time where you kind of have the gist of all of it, and then it becomes getting reps so that you become comfortable with it, so that when you hit that larger opportunity, everybody handles that differently. Some people shrink back into it a little bit and take a couple of steps backwards, and it takes a while to get them out of their shell. Others flourish in it, right? I think we want to make sure that they have the reps and the time to be able to take that to the next level when they do step up. And I think that they're there. I think it's just a matter of time. You know, it's funny, sometimes there are just little things that go on behind the scenes, a moment here, an injury there, a little something or other that makes you delay certain things and move pieces around that people don't necessarily see, because I think sometimes they think, well, it took a long time, or I don't understand why they haven't done this yet. When the time is right, then it happens, and I think they're close to that position. They're both very, very talented girls, and I think when they do have that opportunity, because we've taken the time with it, I think they're going to smash that opportunity. I think they're going to do well, and I think that, you know, for years to come, they're going to be able to go back home to Australia and wow those crowds there as, you know, globally recognized WWE superstars on every level. It's headed their way. It's just a matter of time, you know.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap up today's call. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you guys for coming on, and appreciate all the questions, and look forward to this takeover this weekend. And I know that we just announced the Royal Rumble for next year, for 2019, as being in Phoenix for 4 days there, at the Rumble itself at Chase Field and at Talking Stick Arena for TakeOver Raw and SmackDown. So that's very exciting as well. I'm anxious to head back there for next year's. It's amazing that we haven't even done this year and we're already talking about next year. But like I said before, if you're not planning to be there, I really feel like, I don't know, this whole Philly and the Super Bowl, the Eagles, the whole thing, this is going to be a crazy weekend. And I think when I look at this, as exciting as the Rumble is itself, as historic as it's going to be with a with the first ever Women's Rumble and just everything that's going to happen this weekend and the card at TakeOver just kicking it off, it's going to be an epic weekend. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I know we say that a lot, but this is one for me that I don't know why. It feels a little special going into it all put together. So I'm excited about it, and hopefully we'll see you all there. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you very much for today.